and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching. As you may know, if you've been following my recordings over the last little while, I haven't been putting up weekly Quiet Time Coaching episodes for 2 months, and that's because I've been putting up daily mini devotionals based on the Sermon on the Mount, which has been part of my work with the Thames Valley Churches of Christ. So they've stood in place of the more lengthy Quiet Time Coaching episodes. But those recordings have finished, those devotionals have finished, the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount series has finished, as well as the Beatitudes Teaching Day that we did recently for the Watford Church, and more on that in a minute. And today we're back to the usual format, except that I'm not in a usual place to record this. I am in San Antonio in Texas. I'm here for a conference of Bible teachers, with the title of the conference being Conversations. Fascinating. And we're going to start that properly tomorrow, but today I've arrived, had a reasonably decent night's sleep at my Airbnb, and I've come out this morning for a walk, and a prayer walk, and I have been trying to find a quiet place, a green place, and I've come across, where am I now? I'm in the Olmos Basin Greenway Trail. Olmos Basin Greenway Trail, which is a trail alongside the river. And you might be able to hear some birds singing. And you can probably also hear some cars, because I have found this green space, but like many parts of cities in the United States, the cars and the roads and the planes are never far away. But I'm enjoying this walk down the trail. So I've walked it once, I'm going to walk it back now and then go back to where I'm staying before meeting Andy and Sandra Azila for lunch, which I'm looking forward to. They're over from East London as well for the conference. And coming here has been interesting this morning, because I really like to pray in open parks or countryside, places that are quiet. I don't like fighting against the traffic or the noise to not only talk, because I like to talk out loud and pray out loud, but also just to be able to, I suppose, concentrate. And I find external noise like this quite distracting, and found it quite hard to pray this morning. And I'm glad I found this park, which is better than the streets I was walking on before I found it. But it's this way, and it made me recall that I often struggle with my times of quiet with God, particularly prayer, when I'm traveling to cities. Not if I'm traveling to the countryside, but traveling to cities. And this has been a consistent challenge for me in places like India, where, if you've been to the cities in India, they are loud, congested, noisy, busy. And the same thing in particular in the United States, because the cities in the States aren't quite like the cities in the UK and other places where I have been, which have larger parks and quiet areas. I mean, no disrespect or criticism of my American cousins. Each place is different, and of course the culture here is different, and there are vast open spaces of wilderness which I would love to experience. But most of my trips to the United States have been to cities, often downtown hotels and places for conferences, and in those places you don't tend to find quiet spots. And even this park, it's really a lovely park, but you can hear the noise of the road not far away. However, it's better than the streets nearby. So I have been reflecting a while, talking with God this morning, about how difficult I find it, and trying to make sure I'm not moaning, but being honest with God that I'm finding it hard to pray and focus on Him and enjoy being with Him. And then it occurred to me that God understands that. He knows it's difficult for me. Now, some may say, well, it shouldn't be difficult. You know, if you've got enough spiritual discipline, and if you're spiritually mature enough, then the circumstances for prayer don't make any difference, and you can pray just as effectively walking down the street with the cars going by as you can in a quiet park. And I can hear that and understand that, and maybe I will grow to be able, for the circumstances, not to concern me. And I think that would be a good thing. I always think of Paul and Silas in prison in Acts 16 in some of the most difficult, painful circumstances, and yet they were praying and singing hymns to God in that situation. I aspire to that. That's a good spiritual goal. Can't deny that. But in the meantime, does that mean that my struggles to pray today, in fact, I would say perhaps my struggles to connect as much with God today, does that mean that these prayers are inadequate? And I have to say, I think it must not mean that. That God accepts as adequate what I'm able to offer. This seems to be an important principle for all of us as we think about the way that we pray, how we feel about how we pray, what kind of standards we're holding ourselves to, or that we believe God is holding us to in prayer. Where do these standards come from? Are the feelings reliable indicators of a spiritual reality, or are they just a feeling based on assumptions and on ways we think prayer should be? These are important issues because they shape then how we feel about times like this for me today, when I'm struggling to connect as much as I would like. So a few things that have occurred to me this morning, let me share with you, and then let me ask you for your thoughts on this, as to how you handle it when you find you're in a different circumstance, a circumstance which you find harder, in which do you find it harder to connect with God when you pray. Tell me what happens for you, what happens in your heart and your mind. So here are some thoughts I had today. First of all, it's good to have habits, and that help us to be consistent in prayer, but also to be in a place that's meaningful for us in prayer. Jesus, it says, often went off to lonely places and prayed. Often implies a habit, implies it must have been useful. He went off to lonely. He went off to lonely, quiet places to pray. That did seem to help him. Mark chapter 1, he gets up early, goes off to a quiet place to pray. So there's something there that he did often, habitually. It was helpful to him. But it wasn't the only place he was able to pray. In Gethsemane, he prays in very desperate circumstances. Other times he prays, he lifts his eyes to heaven and prays when he's blessing the food for the 5,000, and when he's visiting Lazarus's tomb, ready to raise him from the dead. There's many different circumstances in which he prayed, some of them clearly private and some more public. So he had that ability. He had that ability to be connected with the Father, his Father, in different circumstances. And it doesn't look like the connection was a problem. Certainly some of the situations in which he prayed were more challenging, like Gethsemane. But he still was able to connect. So there's the inspiration for me and you. When we find it hard to pray in a quiet place, or hard to pray in a noisy place, hard to pray early, hard to pray late, hard to pray when we're in pain, hard to pray when we've got great distress, Jesus is our inspiration. We can grow to be more like him. And I hold on to that. He was flexible. He was able to connect. So that's helpful to know, and that's an inspiration. And that we have the Spirit of Christ, and he will grow that in us, that ability to connect, whatever the circumstances. I believe that. But then there's another side to this, which is that I think I must trust, and we must trust, that whatever prayers we feel able to offer, especially if they're not as we would like, in circumstances we find difficult, that those prayers, as far as God is concerned, are adequate. They are adequate. They are pleasing to him. Nowhere in scripture that I can think of does it say that a certain type of prayer, a certain kind of connection, a certain kind of expression of prayer is the only kind that's pleasing to God, and anything that's less than that is not pleasing to him. Now, there are teachings about prayer that show us what's more and less pleasing to him, in the sense of, as in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, don't babble like pagans. There's that, but it's not about whether you feel, whether I feel that I've really connected or not. It's not about that. I guess it's more to do with sincerity. I came out to pray because I needed to pray, and I wanted to pray, and I wanted to connect with my Father. And even though I have found it difficult, surely he's still pleased. He must still be pleased, because I've come out here with the right motives, with the right desire. I have found it difficult to carry out what I'd hoped, or to experience what I'd hoped in its fullness, but that does not mean that he holds me accountable for that, and that it's my fault and something fundamentally wrong with me or my relationship with him. Surely he is pleased. He is pleased with your efforts in prayer. If they're offered sincerely, it delights him. He loves to hear from his children, doesn't he? We don't have to match a certain standard, or even to please ourselves, let alone try to please him in some kind of subservient way. He's pleased with what you can do. So this morning, as I realized that, partway walking to this park, it took me about half an hour to get here, and I realized this partway along, praying, thinking, and partway along, I just relaxed into that. I said, God, I'm going to trust you. Yes, okay. I'm going to trust you that even though these prayers aren't as good as I'd like them to be, or that's the right word, I'm going to trust that you accept them, that you're happy with them, and it's going to be enough. And as soon as I realized that, accepted it, and prayed that, all of a sudden the burden came off, and I found I'm enjoying this walk. I'm enjoying walking and talking and being with God. And then I found the park, which I didn't realize was here. And I've been able to pray a bit more freely in this, walking along this trail. But it's funny how it took the pressure off, and then I was able to enjoy my time with God better. Part of having a healthy relationship with God is trusting him that what we can offer him is enough. One of my recent prayers, I've been praying pretty much every day for the last 2 or 3 months, is a prayer along the lines of thanking God for giving me all the energy I need for all the things that matter in this day. I realize often I'm praying to God saying, God, I've got this on my plate today, I got this, I got that, I'm not sure I've got the energy, please help me, in a way that indicated like he wouldn't want to try and help me, or that I had to really bug him to give me enough energy. And it occurred to me, surely, if in my relationship with God and his love for me, he's not going to withhold the energy I need for the things that really matter. Why would he do that? And such, so I've been praying in faith and saying, rather than God give me the energy, although occasionally I'll pray about that kind of thing, it's more, thank you God for giving me the energy that I need to do all the things that you've called me to do. Not necessarily all the things I want to do, but all the things I'm called to do today, all the things that really matter. God has given me enough energy. And I've realized over the last 2 months or so, day by day, this has been true. Every day I've had enough energy to do the things I need to do. Sometimes I haven't had as much energy as I would like, and some things I thought I needed to do, actually I didn't, and then they didn't get done because I didn't have enough energy. And you know what? My world did not fall apart. The universe did not grind to a stop. No, I had enough to do all the things that really mattered. And it's in the same vein that it will help me to trust him that my prayers offered today, what I can do, is all that I need to do. He makes up the difference, doesn't he? When God takes our prayers, weak and feeble as they all are, really, even on the days when I think they're great prayers, which I don't often think, but if I was to think such a thing, he takes, they're feeble enough as they are, but he takes whatever I consider to be great or feeble, and they're meaningful to him, much like any father is glad for any efforts their children make in loving him and living for him. And that's what we do. That's what we do. We love him and we live for him. And we do it to the best of our abilities with all the sincerity that we can muster. Having spent a lot of time in the Sermon on the Mount recently, and particularly the Beatitudes, one of my reflections on that time and the way that it's affected my connection with God and my times of quiet with God since then, one of my reflections is that sincerity is underrated. At least in my world, and I think sometimes in the church circles I move, congregations, those circles I move, I think sometimes sincerity is underrated. And blessed are the pure of heart, or pure in heart, for they shall see God. J.B. Phillips says, blessed are the utterly sincere, I think is the way it's put, for they shall see God. It's not about performance. It's not about measuring up to a standard. It's about sincerity. And I know that sometimes, you know, we've heard it preached that sincerity is not enough. Obedience is expected and demanded. And the Sermon on the Mount talks about obedience. No question about that. But obedience without sincerity is empty. That's so much of Jesus' teachings and so much of his challenge to the Pharisees and others, was that they lacked the heart. And at my time of quiet today, the meaningfulness of it depends on the heart in it, not on how I feel, not on whether I'm able to connect with God in the way I normally do or would like to do, not on whether I'm in a quiet place or not, not whether I can hear the birds more loudly than the cars, which is the case. Here, I have seen some lovely birds and I've heard some lovely bird song, but yes, the cars are noisier. And it can't depend on such things. If my time out here is sincere, if my heart is in it, then God is pleased. God is pleased. God is delighted, I think. I think he is. All right, that'll have to do for today. Next Quiet Time Coaching will probably be a spiritual report on the conference I'm attending in the next few days. So I'll talk about the conference in its more theological, on its more theological issues in Tuesday Teaching Tips next week. Next week? The week after, sometime soon. But the Quiet Time Coaching episode will be more of a spiritual disciplines reflection on the conference. I will be posting a few updates over the next few days if you're interested in that. But that's enough on this for today. So I hope and pray that whatever your circumstances today, however you feel about the connectivity or otherwise of your prayer time with God, I pray and hope that you will understand that for God it is enough. He is happy. And I'd love to know your thoughts on this. So what do you think about how we handle those times when we feel more distracted or we find it harder to connect with God? What do you do? Perhaps you have some ideas, some practical things, some spiritual disciplines that help you. I would love to know what they are. And if you can leave a comment wherever you get this podcast from, that would be wonderful. Leave it publicly so that we can learn from each other, because we really do learn best when we're learning together in a community. And of course, if you know anybody who might benefit from this podcast, then please pass the link on. And if you have a moment, I'd be grateful if you could leave me a podcast review. Not so much for my benefit, but because it will raise the profile and other people will find the podcast more easily. Thanks for being with me today. I'm coming back to the top end now of the Olmos, that's the right way to pronounce it, Basin Greenway Trail. Back up to the top end, coming out of the park. I'm going to walk back along the roads, the sidewalks, back to where I'm staying, and reflect a bit more on what I've learned from walking and praying and recording this. And then I'll edit this and put it up online on Thursday. I'm recording this on Wednesday. I've been very blessed today to have this walk and to see, amongst other things, I saw a northern cardinal, a very bright red-orange bird that was beautiful. I'm really glad I saw that too. So I saw the northern cardinal, if you want to watch, look that up. Thanks for being with me today. Thank you for your support and encouragement. Let's trust that whatever we are able to offer, God is pleased. Till the next time, take care and God bless.